Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
So here we are, smack in the middle of February. Things are feeling a bit more hopeful in various areas. As for theater, well, there is some movement, nothing immediate. For example, it may not be set to open on Broadway for another year, but the producers of the stage version of Some Like It Hot announced this past week that they have added Amber Ruffin as a co-writer. The comedian becomes the first Black woman to join the creative team for the new musical. Now, Ruffin, who writes, hosts, and produces a late-night comedy talk show on Peacock, will co-write the book with Matthew Lopez, who penned last season's two-part play, The Inheritance. That was about the legacy of AIDS. For those who, unlike me, have not seen that film 20 times, Some Like It Hot is the classic Billy Wilder movie with Jack Lemmon, Tony Curtis, and Marilyn Monroe. Clearly, someone's color and perhaps gender is going to be changed this time around, but, you know, what else is new? On a heavier subject, New York Theater Workshop is laying out its February and March offerings, beginning this week with a work called For Which It Stands, about an incarcerated woman. That'll be up through next Monday. And then there is a piece called Shook, S-H-O-O-K, also about incarceration. In this case, about three inmates who are about to become fathers. Now, American plays about the prison pipeline typically indict its machinery with some ounce of hope. The despairing non-American Shook is about a system of breaking people down and keeping them broken. The play is written by a Brit, Samuel Bailey, and was about to open over there when the pandemic struck. Shook streams through February 28th and can be found via paptango, paptango.co.uk. Though I assume you can probably just Google Shook. And speaking of material from England, the National Theatre's revival of Angels in America is streaming there. Tony Kushner's classic rarely misses, and apparently this production was one of the best, so you can check out National Theatre at home. Continuing with the British theme, the great Broadway actor, though not from England, Patrick Page is offering a play called All the Devils Are Here, How Shakespeare Invented the Villain. This is a one-man show full of the Bard's vilest, silliest, and most misunderstood characters. It comes from the Shakespeare Theater Company in Washington. All the Devils Are Here is a chronological catalog of Shakespeare's bad guys and girls. Yes, Lady Macbeth is here. Page also wrote the script, by the way, and he played a rather grand villain himself in last and hopefully next season's Tony-winning Hadestown. This one is up and available at shakespeare.org. Keeping with the heavy subjects, during this wet and white and dark winter comes yet another theater of war offering, The Madness of Hercules. It streams February 18th, this Thursday, and features a fine cast as always, and also as always, the Euripides reading will be followed by a discussion with real folks about relevant issues. In this case, about the stubborn subject of gun violence. Now, that's theater of war, and those streamed live only once, I should remind you. For another provocative piece, you can check out the Cherry Arts Collective, which is keeping up its reading of Hotel Good Luck throughout the week. That's a very interesting script. Less provocative, but also streaming, is yet another one of those illusionist-based works that have had a very productive pandemic. This one is called Virtual Impossibilities. It'll be available on all Saturdays now for a while at 8 p.m. Tickets will cost you $19. The man at the center here is one of New York City's top mentalists, Eric Walton, who presents feats of mind reading and the like. These pieces, of which there have been several, are immersive in nature. So far from being mere passive viewers, the audiences for Virtual Impossibilities participate actively in the performance, interacting directly with Eric throughout the experience. And on Sunday, February 21st at 2 p.m., arrives one show called Passion Killer. You can find it via TheaterAriel, ARIEL.org. It's an interesting salon-based company based in Philly. Written and performed by Hadar Galran, this is a stand-up cabaret about women's power and weakness from Genesis to today. Born and educated in the Jewish Orthodox community in London until her family immigrated to Israel, Hadar intertwines her personal experiences with stories of righteous women from the Bible and beyond. After the virtual performance, she will engage in a Q&A with the audience. And here's a good one that is streaming for 3 more days. It comes from Stacey Keach Zoom Theater, whatever that is. It's The Gardener by Lanny Robertson. The cast alone is worth mentioning. Ed Harris plays Claude Monet. Stacey Keach plays Prime Minister of France, Clemenceau. And Amy Madigan plays Monet's stepdaughter, Blanche. It's directed by Stacey Keach. I think you'll remember him. And you go to StaceyKeachZoomTheater.com to find it. Now, let's get back to some smiling. The Ensemble Theater Company, based in Santa Barbara, will present performances by renowned artists, many familiar from the TV world, that look at love and healing. This free event will include short tales and music. The American novelist and short story writer T.C. Boyle will read his New Yorker short story, I Walk Between the Raindrops, that was written in the aftermath of the devastating mudslides in Santa Barbara in 2018. There's also a short comic play written by Ken Levine, whose television credits include MASH, Cheers, Frasier, and The Simpsons. Meredith Baxter and Michael Gross, who famously starred on the hit television show Family Ties, portray a couple looking back on their lives as they watch an episode of the 1960s series The Fugitive. Gregory Harrison, star of Trapper John M.D. and Falcon Crest, will perform a short tale of unrequited love in a California coastal town. Boy, talk about going down memory lane. And going from small town to, well, the world, the International City Theater opens its 36th season with a virtual presentation of art. Yasmina Riza's multiple award-winning look at the bonds of friendship viewed through the prism of modern art. When one character purchases an all-white painting for £200,000, his longtime friendships are put to the test. This one is streaming on demand through early March, though it will cost you $30 per household. Hey, that's a lot cheaper than that painting. Tickets are available at www.internationalcitytheater.org. Now, lately I've discussed some great books by or about people of theater. Mike Nichols, Tom Stoppard, Cicely Tyson, Gabriel Byrne. Well, now I've just finished reading a novel by one, yes, Ethan Hawke. Has written A Bright Ray of Darkness. It takes us inside a Shakespearean production. The main character of the book is a movie star, not unlike Hawke, who takes on a serious stage role. The character awaits and then receives a punishing critique, much as Hawke did when he played Macbeth at Lincoln Center. There's humor and a good amount of naughtiness in this book, but it's a fun inside look at the insecurities behind those we can't imagine would have any. And by the way, a nice way for Ethan Hawke to get some revenge on those who judged him harshly. Finally, my obit of the week is not for a performer or a director or even someone who made theater happen. But he gave those folks a place to congregate for more than 50 years until his death a Sunday ago at 87. Joe Allen, a reserved, quiet, yes, untheatrical man, created 3 landmark restaurants. The original Joe Allen, the more upscale Orso, and the intimate Bar Central. When he opened Joe Allen in 1965 on the block of West 46th Street that came to be known as Restaurant Row, theater people quickly found it a place to be after a show and theatergoers before one, and they all appreciated his wall full of posters from failed Broadway shows. I had many a meal there while seeing 2, 3, or even 4 shows a week in the old days, as in almost exactly a year ago. The food wasn't great, but the conversations almost always were. So Joe Allen himself won't see Broadway and Off-Broadway return, but hopefully, Jill, the place that carries his name will.
And don't forget, I think the thing that was cool about reading all of the Joe Allen obits is most people know about Orso, of course. Mm-hmm. But the upstairs at Joe Allen, and I forgot what the name of it is.
Is Bar Central, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I just I liked being reminded of all of that.
Yeah, it's fun. I never went up to Bar Central. That's really where the
action was. So I just it's always nice to have those winks and those reminders. And I guess was it originally based in El Morocco or something?
May have been. I can't tell you how many stories came out of me from people that I met sitting at the bar. I always sat at the bar before a show. And you know, you start talking to people. What are you going to see tonight? And I don't know. There was always interesting conversation. A lot of people from out of town who just heard about it. A lot of regulars, you know. I don't know. It's the kind of thing that at this time people are really missing a lot because, God, who wouldn't kill to go to a bar?
Oh, I think that there's going to be a fair bit of what's it called when something's built in. I think a lot of people are going to be really happy to get out and about again.
I agree. And who knows? Maybe this could. Well, I do think it's going to happen this year. The year is just starting, but I do think we will be back in theaters in 2021. Let's hope.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.